passionate about, I guess, quite a few things, but one of the things that, I don't know, the Bible says that we should ask the Lord to teach us to number our days. To number our days. Turning 20 was a big deal for me because that's when I married Pam. People ask me about turning 30. You know, it's just a number to me on a, you know what I'm saying? These milestone birthdays. 40. I was with the youth at youth camp. 50. Something about turning 59, though. Teach me to number my days, Lord. Teach me to make every day count. Teach me to understand the importance of a legacy and impacting. You talk about impacting this world. You impact this world by impacting people. If there were no people, there'd be no purpose for this world. I mean, amen. I've got new terminology for it. The Lord recently gave me and been writing about it here of late. But if you've been around Heritage for very long, I mean, you're a part of it already. But it's this idea of a gap between what's true about us and what we understand to be true about us. I believe in order for the body of Christ to do what must be done on this earth before Jesus will come back. See, everybody has this idea that because we're seeing the world blowing up around us, that this means Jesus is coming back. When just the opposite, he said, when you see all these things happening, don't be deceived into thinking that it means it's the end, because the end will not be until this gospel is preached. Now, the mechanics of preaching the gospel is one thing, but the gumption to do it is another. Are you following me? Let me see if I can say it another way. It's a simple gospel. Amen. That's what the Bible says, the simplicity of the gospel. You don't have to, as we've said before, know a whole lot to receive salvation. It's pretty simple. But there's a motivation factor, a passion, a fire in our belly. When we are genuinely passionate about something and genuinely believe that the people in our lives will benefit from it, nobody has to tell you to share it with them. You follow what I'm saying? Nobody has to make you feel guilty because you didn't invite them to the ground floor of the pyramid scheme of whatever. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings if you're involved in that, you know. I remember there was this family that very, very dear friends of my mom and dad, and they had moved away, and it's a time in their lives when we were all very close, and especially when Matt was young, and Matt's a little bit older than me, but him even more so than me, and they called out of the blue, and they said, we are so excited about some things that are happening in our lives, and we want to come and talk to y'all about it. And I was like, well, yeah, yeah. Mom was so excited. She goes, I just know they've all gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. They wanted us to come underneath them in a vitamin selling pyramid marketing thing. Needless to say, Mom was pretty disappointed, and Dad was like, "You got to be kidding me!" You know, there was it was kind of wah wah wah, you know. But they were passionate about it. I don't think they were passionate about the benefits of the vitamins or the opportunity to make a lot of money or both or what have you. But when you're really genuinely passionate about something, you, as a matter of fact, people have to tell you to quit talking about it. Here's what I'm saying. You get a reputation for the dude or the dudette that talks about it all the time. I'm looking at you, Donald Ballard. Amen. People he works with. Remember the whole thing about finding the car keys and the umbrella. Amen. So like so many things in the body of Christ, leadership often understands the importance of things like sharing the gospel or following, obeying the word of God and following through on what the Bible says about tithes and offerings and these sort of things. So leadership has enough understanding to recognize that people would benefit in their lives and families if they would do this. But instead of trying to help develop a passion in their hearts for this, they choose instead to try to manipulate them emotionally, guilt, shame, condemn them into even threatening fear, you know. And fear is a terrible motivator when it comes to the things of love and the things of God. God is love. So this is where I am and what I believe in at 59 years old, with almost half my life behind me. Amen. Amen, brother. Is we want to, matter of fact, there's an urgency like I've never felt before. We've got to close this gap. I've said it before. I may have said it this past Sunday. I'll say it again. When Jesus sat down at that well and waited on that woman to show up, he was there because his Father sent him there. And she was all rude to him and not in the mood to talk. But none of that fazed him. He was there on assignment. And if you listen very carefully, again, please, please, please carry these words home with you tonight. Because he wasn't just saying them to her. He's saying them to us. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that just asked you for a drink, you would ask of him. And he would give you water that would quench your thirst forever. I think one of the greatest problems we have in the body of Christ is that there are millions of born-again people who still don't know the gift of God. They still don't know. They don't know. And these are the four things. I'm sure the list could be longer, but these are the ones that the Lord's really... Number one, they don't know his love for them. They don't know his heart for them. They don't understand. Again, if you only knew how much he loved you, if you only knew how much he's for you, if you only knew what he was willing to do and has done for you to help you, right? See, this is where what Paul said by the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians. What is the height, the length, the width, the breadth, the depth? In other words, He's talking about, like, if you look at a box, you know, all the different dimensions of the box. But instead, he's not talking about a box. He said, if you understood the full dimension of God's love for you. And notice what he says. He says, the more that we understand that, the more our lives are filled with the fullness of God. Amen. He's talking about your life reality there. Obviously, you've been given the fullness of God, right? But now, he's talking about you experientially enjoying the fullness of God. What gap needs to be closed so that we can go from being given all these things by God and actually experiencing them in our life reality? Well, the first one is we got to grow in our understanding or our awareness of His love for us. How powerful is this? Perfect love casts out all fear. The more you understand how much He loves you, the more you connect with and are aware of His love for you, just it obliterates fear. You become a fearless man or woman. We look at some of these great heroes of faith in the Bible and we think, man, how were they able to do some of the things that they did? I bet, you know, we have this idea that Abraham was shaking in his boots and David was, you know, biting his fingernails. No, but they weren't faking that level of faith and trust in God. It was because they were aware of His integrity. They were aware. They had become aware of some things that other people were not aware of. They understood some things that some other people didn't understand. And this is what made such an amazing difference in their lives relative to everybody else around them. David walks up with Goliath down there bellowing, making fun of everything that's holy. And it's a stark contrast. Even the king, they're all hiding. David walks up and his response is, I'll paraphrase, is nobody going to do anything about him? He wasn't showing out. It wasn't the ignorance of youth. You know, people talk about, you know, before the brain's fully developed. No, none of that. It was an amazing contrast. So what was the difference? David, you sit around, write songs to God, sing about His love and kindness. He was aware. Matter of fact, we could even say he was aware way ahead of his time of the loving kindness of God. We take for granted because we know so much about it now with the New Testament and Jesus coming to this earth. But David was a man way ahead of his time when it came to an understanding of the chesed of God and the loving kindness of God and God's a good God and His desire to prosper and protect and these things. So a greater awareness of God's love for us. Number two, again, there's a gap, right? We've got how much He loves us, and then we've got how much we understand His love for us. And this is the breach. I've been functioning in this role for a lot of years, but I've never had the Lord really bring it home to me until here recently. Repairer of the breach sounds more noble than closer of the gap. But one of my primary assignments in my Father's kingdom is to help men and women close that gap between what's true and what they understand about what's true. It's a breach in the wall. Amen. And if you keep reading, he explains that once those walls no longer have breaches in them, they'll be called the walls of salvation. The armor talked about in Ephesians 6. The armor is to you and me individually what the wall is collectively to a city. We put on the helmet of salvation. But if there are gaps in your understanding of salvation, you're putting on a helmet with holes in it. Is this making sense to anybody in here? I'm not making light of this, but you know, people talk about, you know, they in their minds they just picture the helmet and they picture this and do that, practice that. But to truly put on the armor of God means to put on, arm yourself, protect yourself with the knowledge and understanding of those things. The breastplate of righteousness. Obviously, the two most vulnerable things in battle is the head and the upper body, the torso, right? Salvation, righteousness. A breach in the wall allows the enemy to come and go. It's a weak spot. If the enemy's going to attack, he's looking for the weak spot. He's looking for the opening. Right? Well, if we're ignorant of our righteousness, if we're ignorant of our salvation that has provided for our righteousness, if there's a gap in the righteousness that we've been made and our understanding and awareness of it, that's the part the devil pokes at. That's the part where he harasses us. Those are the openings that he tries to exploit and use against us. Are you seeing this? Closer of the gap. Amen. Come and I'll give. Learn and you'll find. Jesus is plainly telling us that there's a gap between what you've been given and what you know about what you've been given. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? So it starts with an understanding of his heart for us, his love for us. But then a greater understanding of what he has done for us. Man, how can we fully appreciate and be thankful if we don't even understand what it is that he's done? And what it cost him. And the extent of what it all covers. Salvation and the new birth is not a Band-Aid. It's not less powerful than the sin that separated us from God. That's what he explains to us in Romans. If sin had the power to kill us and separate us from God, then how much more what Jesus has done for us make us one with him? Y'all still with me? His heart for us, closing that gap between his true heart for us and what we understand, our awareness of his heart and his love for us, what he's done for us and our understanding of what he's done for us. Again, we've got to close those gaps. Number three, this gap that exists between who he's made us and our understanding of who he's made us. It's huge. It's huge. You know, there's cute ways of saying it. I've heard it for years. You know, the body of Christ, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in an identity crisis. And it's sad to me, but I would have to agree. We don't know who we are. When I say we, I'm talking about collectively. Praise God, we're learning some things about it here. Amen. You see this huge gap. And when we don't know and there's this gap, again, it creates an opening for the devil to exploit. And he loves for you to think that you are less than who you truly are, who God made you to be. So his heart for you, what he's done for you, who he's made you, and then the final one is what he's given to you. What belongs to you because of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing. But see, it's this lack of understanding or this lack of awareness, this lack of consciousness. It's why people are there's all kinds of words, okay, but I mean one of the big ones is just a lack of passion, lack of energy, lack of enthusiasm, lack of motivation, lack of, you know, and I'm not here to try to bash anybody or beat anybody. It's not my job. Not my job. Speak the truth in love. Amen. Grow up into Jesus in all things. What concerns me is that there are a lot of leaders in the body of Christ who substitute other things to try to motivate people and leave these gaps unaddressed, unattended. If you've studied the life of Nehemiah, it's a master class in servant leadership. I mean, what's the guy? Leadership guru, brother in Christ. Somebody help me. Written more books on leadership. Maxwell? John Maxwell? Who said it? Okay. He's got a brilliant book on leadership based on Nehemiah's life. What I don't think we understand is how dishonorable it was in their day for the walls of a city to be in disrepair. It was a reflection on the city. It was a reflection on the leadership of the city. It was a reflection. In other words, it didn't just speak of neglect of the wall. It spoke of a neglect of the city and the citizens of that city. When the walls are broken down, it's easy for the enemy to come in and steal, and it's difficult for the people inside to have the peace and the security that they need to live the life that God created them to live. So if you look at this physical parallel, because again, if you look at it in the Bible, especially the book of Nehemiah, you know, I mean, he's got like a trowel in one hand and a spear in the other. Because the enemy does not want those breaches repaired. He doesn't want those gaps closed. It can essentially put him out of business in somebody's life. If we can close these gaps of understanding and awareness, again, let's go back to it and I'll finish here. The armor of God is to the individual what the wall is to the city. Think of the armor of God as your portable wall. Amen. In other words, because he talked about it in Ephesians 6, right? That you may quench all the fiery darts. So he's talking about we're in this world but not of it, so we're under attack. How do we defend ourselves? You put on the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? You know, it's like, okay, you got it on, you know. What does that mean? It means living your life with the understanding of what it means to be a born again man or woman. What belongs to you, your identity, what was done for you, the love that God has for you. See, you get your head covered with that kind of stuff. See, now the devil starts trying to tell you, oh, you can't do nothing right. Man, see, again, every one of those fiery darts just hit that helmet of salvation and bounce right off. But if you know little to nothing about it, all it takes is one good shot from the devil, boom. Now you got some crazy thought going on in your head that's driving you crazy and everybody around you. Same with righteousness. Same with righteousness. So again, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, what does that mean? Now I understand the power of words. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I put on the breastplate. You know, people talking about confessing that and that sort of thing. I'm not saying don't do that. But if you say it all day and you have no idea what it means to be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, there's this huge gap that you've been made righteous and you're understanding that you've been made righteous. There's a gap. There's a breach. Close it up. And it's amazing how the sin that used to so easily beset you doesn't even interest you anymore. You'll go from thinking you can't live without something of the flesh to not even wanting it anymore. Because again, the temptation that the enemy tries to bring, breastplate of righteousness covers the heart, right? The more you understand that your righteousness is not based upon, you know, how good you've been today. If you attach your understanding of righteousness to your own behavior and what you do for God instead of what God's done for you, well, I mean, you're going to be putting it on, taking it off 50 times a week. Is this making sense to you? Amen. I came here with another sermon tonight, but that was the one that I felt like we needed to. If I'd have had another 45 minutes in class, that's where we would have went. So we just finished class in here. Amen. I learned from Brother Copeland that part of my job is to give you something to say. Amen. But also, and I'm sure he would agree with this as well, another part of my job is to help you understand where we need to place the effort. Because the devil will have you focusing on, what do you say, majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. In other words, the devil will have you, you know, chasing around little things and just, it's a numbers game for him. Again, teach me to number my days. The devil will have you squandering your life on stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans rather than focusing on what will not only impact your life and others here, but it'll carry over into treasure in heaven and put you in a position once you get there, because you're found faithful, right? When you get there, people say, well, I don't care about that, Pastor Mark, long as I get in. You say that now. You say that now. I ain't got to come to church on a Wednesday night and go to heaven. No, you don't. No, you don't. But Father's looking for people who are faithful. He's looking for somebody to be found faithful. He wants to promote you. I'm starting to ramble now. I went through this not too long ago again, and it just stands out to me every time, and I need to write down the exact Bible verses. I'm almost positive it's Moses. Amen. I need to write it down next time I read this part, but you'll get the gist of it. And it's like every time the Lord just shows me a little bit more. But he told his own people, he said, look, I'm giving you the promised land and I'm rooting the people that are in the promised land out. He said, but not because of your righteousness, but because of their wickedness. And he basically said some version of that three times, emphasizing it. Why was he emphasizing it? It's because he didn't want them to think that he was endorsing their lack of faith and bad behavior. That's, in other words, the only reason Father doesn't do more in our lives than he's doing right now is he doesn't want us to get the wrong impression that all you got to do is lay around and he'll just keep on blessing you and increasing you. See, if he endorses that kind of behavior, then it reinforces that kind of behavior. And we think, well, you know, that's why he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why he says, I honor those who honor me. That's why he's looking for men and women who will be found faithful, that he can continue to reveal more and more of his mysteries to. Let them be found right here among us. Amen. All right. Stand with me tonight. Praise God. Praise the name of the living God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we often ask for wisdom as it relates to certain key things in our lives, and then we pray the general prayer numbers and numbers of times, Lord, that you'd give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. But Lord, tonight we're going to be very specific. We ask, Lord, that you help us better understand and become more and more, increasingly more and more aware of your heart for us, of what you've done for us, who you've made us, and what you've given to us. Father, that those gaps in our understanding, those breaches in our walls and armor, Father, that we would close those gaps with your help and the help of your word. Nehemiah used bricks and mortar, Father. We're using your word of truth, spirit and life. Father, we want our lives to count for you and for your glory. You gave your best for us, Father. Show us and teach us and help us to give our best for you. I thank you for this awesome, beautiful group of people that come out on Wednesday night, and for those, Lord, who would love to be here, but for whatever reason, Lord, it's better for them to watch from home. Some, Father, half a world away, listening to what you have to say to us. So, Father, we bless these men and women, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your anointing, the power of your Holy Spirit. And we trust what Jesus said, that he, the Holy Spirit, would lead us and guide us into all truth. Help us to cooperate with him better. Help us, Father, to put forth the effort to hide your word in our heart, keep it in front of our eyes, to simplify it, Father. Put your words in the machinery of our heart and mind so that the Holy Spirit will have something to work with, something to use, to speak to us in and through and with and by. Father, we pray for all of our family of faith, Lord, including everybody in the room watching online right now, including all those that come fairly regularly on Sunday, and Lord, a whole bunch of people who call this their church and me their pastor that haven't been here in quite some time, Lord. I thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to them. I ask you, Father, that just in your mercy and kindness, Father, that you would tap them on the shoulder one more time. Father, that you would stir their hearts for something better, for something more, Lord. There are so many people, Father, who've experienced you in this room. So many people, Father, whose lives are in disarray right now. And Father, when they look back, the bright places in their lives had something to do with you in this house. Help them remember that, Lord. Help them remember that, Lord. It's your goodness that draws us to repentance. It's your goodness that draws us back to you. So we call them in, Father, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, you said in the last of the last days that you would establish your house on the tops of the mountains and that people from every nation would flow into it. Thank you, Father, that we're believing and confessing and standing on that word here at Heritage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hey, know that you're loved. Know that you're appreciated. Thank you for being here tonight. Good things coming. I'll see you on Sunday, if not before. Amen. Ask somebody to come with you.